and welcome to Logically Local, the show that highlights local issues and solutions to sustainability problems.
In this globalized world, we believe that we need tailored local solutions for greater sustainability challenges. And Logically Local brings to you stories from people, organizations, and communities who are doing their bit to contribute.
We are your hosts. I am Trisanki Saikia.
I am Mayuri Phukan.
And today, we are going to talk about arsenic contamination in groundwater and the ongoing work for their mitigation.
Water is essential for human life. However, millions in India do not have access to safe drinking water. One of the contaminants of groundwater is arsenic, a metalloid which is naturally present in Earth's crust. Now, some regions have much higher arsenic concentrations than the others, and this is mostly due to geological and anthropogenic activities, and this can be really problematic.
Exactly. Higher levels of arsenic in groundwater has serious implications for human health. Arsenic poisoning, which is also known as arsenicosis, can cause major health complications such as skin damage and cancers of lung and bladder, and could also cause death. It also enters the food chain through irrigation and does pose serious health risk to the group of larger population.
Exactly. And this problem is not new. In India, groundwater arsenic contamination, it first surfaced from West Bengal in 1983. Since then, many other states, including Assam and Manipur in Brahmaputra and Imphal River plains, have detected arsenic in groundwater, and at times even above the permissible limit of 50 microgram per liter.
A 2000 survey conducted by the PHE department for over a period of 3 years found Jorhat district to be the worst hit among the 17 districts in Assam with arsenic contamination. Within Jorhat, Titabor subdivision, comprising 20 gau panchayats, was the most affected. Saki Waters, a Hyderabad-based research institute focused on critical issues related to water resources management in South Asia, is working on this issue. In today's episode, we have one of their researchers, Prithvi, who will talk to us more about arsenic contamination in general and particularly in this region.
Prithvi is an associate fellow at Saki Waters. His research expertise lies in the area of agriculture, water, and climate change. And he also has an inclination towards the sustainable development goals. He had been awarded the Hemendra Kothari Fellowship during his master's program from Terry School of Advanced Studies. And he has also been honored as Youth Ambassador for Swachh Bharat Mission for Lake Rejuvenation at Kapurthala in Punjab.
Welcome to the podcast, Prithvi. We are so glad to have you.
Thanks, Mayuri and Trisanki. Thanks for pulling me up for this podcast.
So, Prithvi, I think as our audience knows, we're going to talk about arsenic contamination. But we'd like to begin with understanding why exactly arsenic is more prevalent in certain areas, and what causes this? What are the reasons behind arsenic presence in groundwater? Can you tell us something about that?
Okay. Among all the major chemical water contaminants, arsenic is more harmful, which is found in water across the globe. Arsenic is considered as one of the most toxic elements found in the natural environment. Arsenic contamination in drinking water may cause from natural geological formations from where groundwater is extracted, as well as mining, agricultural sources, and other anthropogenic sources or other source for contamination.
And how can we detect this? Like if it's present in groundwater, how will someone who's using that groundwater get to know about it?
Unfortunately, we don't have any technology as per now to detect water on ground directly. But the detection of arsenic should be done by the local PHED departments and the irrigation department. Usually, the process goes on like they detect, they test the water, and they label the specific borewell not to be used. So this practice is isn't process throughout India, more specifically in Assam. So this is the actual way to detect. But we have a few field-based kits which can be used by the local civil society organizations or local households, which is available in the market currently.
Yeah, if you could tell us a bit more about these kits that local people can also use to know if there is arsenic presence in their groundwater.
Okay. These kits are available in the market where we get 2-3 kinds of reagents. When you actually take a sample of the water, you can add these reagents in that water sample where the parameter of arsenic contamination is detected according to the color. And when the color is matched with that specific scale, we can actually see if the arsenic contamination is up to the permissible limit or more than the permissible limit. According to that, the household or the civil society organization or that specific individual can decide whether it's good to drink or not. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Prithvi, for this, because yeah, as you said, unfortunately, it's really hard to detect arsenic in the water because it is tasteless and odorless. And for example, other elements or minerals like iron is more detectable just because it has certain stronger taste, which is very evident in the water. But arsenic, even though it is has such severe implications for health and such, it's very hard to detect. And having knowledge of awareness of how we can test it, even if it's not 100%, but if these ground field kits are available, then it is easier for the citizens also that if they want to check it for themselves, then they could do this, right?
Yes, exactly.
But what exactly are the impacts of arsenic contamination on not only the health, but the wider communities, biodiversity and the ecosystem, both in the short term and the long term?
Sure. Arsenic toxicity is a condition that occurs due to the excess level of arsenic in the body, specifically. Arsenic toxicity results in multi-system diseases in the human body. By now, it's well established that long-term exposure of arsenic-contaminated drinking water causes skin, bladder, lung, and kidney cancer, as well as pigmentation changes in skin thickening, as called as hyperkeratosis. Neurological disorders can be seen in the patient, muscular weakness, loss of appetite, nausea, diabetes, severe birth defects will be detected in the human beings. Apart from these, there might be translocation of arsenic in the food crops also. This is another source of consumption in the patient. As per now, there is no evidence that arsenic will affect the environment and ecosystem. But anyway, these plants are and the ecosystem is tend to absorb arsenic and bring arsenic to permissible limit in the lakes, which is open. And when the arsenic react with the atmospheric air, there is a chance of reduction, so that is a positive sign. As per now, there is no evidence that arsenic will affect the environment.
So the impacts are mostly to do with the long and short term health for people, either through direct consumption of drinking water or through its presence in the food chain.
Yeah.
And coming to the food chain, since are there certain crops which are more prone to absorbing arsenic from soil?
Yes. So specifically, arsenic contamination might get translocated in paddy, where most of the time paddy is submerged in the water. So there's a high chance of translocation of this arsenic into the foliage and less into the grain. So even my master thesis was on heavy metal contamination, specifically not on arsenic, but it was on chromium. My experiment was on tomato and other vegetables. We saw translocation into vegetative area rather than the fruit area. So the limit in the fruit was under the permissible limit. So there is a huge scope for study in this area. According to my study, the translocation of these heavy metals into the fruits is less, where it is high in the leaf and the stem part.
That's a great piece of information, Prithvi, because it is indeed a scary thought to think about, because we are also rice eating region, and paddy is harvested heavily, and as well as other vegetables. Yeah. So presence of heavy metals, any form of heavy metals in our food chain, in increasing its toxicity, is definitely a scary situation to think about. Yes. Now, coming to contaminants.
Actually, Prithvi, I had on one of the previous points you mentioned that there is no evidence of it impacting the environment. But if the arsenic has such severe implications on human health, doesn't it have similar implications on the health of other mammals if they're also,
you mean cattle and all?
Yeah, cattle and all, if they are grazing on.
Yes, it might affect cattle and other livestock, even fish. But there is evidence established on cattle infected with arsenic. We see the same kind of symptoms in dairy animals and goats, other livestock. But there is still clear data telling that what might be the long-term issues. But it's very much obvious that when a particular human being consumes the milk of that dairy animal, there is a process called biomagnification, where again we consume arsenic through that milk of that dairy animal. So this is a vicious cycle. We need to plan a strategic mitigation activities, where it should be an integrated plan which addresses each and every issue, looking into a niche of the problem.
What exactly can these mitigation pathways be? What are the ways to remove arsenic?
As for now, the best way is to avoid water, which is more prevalent in India. We are practicing that. Apart from this, I think
avoid the arsenic contaminated water?
Exactly.
How exactly can it be done? For example, regions which are in the area where arsenic gets detected and they do not have any other source of drinking water other than, let's say, groundwater. So how can this be done?
Okay, so this is a very complicated thing to address, but somehow I think here in such kind of complexities, there is a requirement of government to come into the picture and play an important role. When there's a plan which by the union government, which actually tells that Har Ghar Nal Yojana, which is being implemented in rural areas too, that should be more efficient, and they should bring this surface water, tertiary and secondary pipelines to these rural areas where they can supply safe water. So specifically, if you ask me to draw an example, currently, Bihar is also affected with arsenic. Bhagalpur region is having a high range of arsenic. So this Har Ghar Nal Yojana is helping that specific locations to come to avoid this groundwater contamination. So that can be looked into. But somehow we have issues in Assam because people are not that aware about the arsenic problem yet. Yes. So I think we need pressure groups which can push governments toward this solution.
So can you tell us what's happening in Assam and in particularly the areas you are working? And so what's the current status? What's happening there?
Okay. Specifically, we are working at Titobar with a EU-funded project. We were working with INRIM, which is another organization which works in this water quality. So specifically, we were trying to form district platforms where we can actually talk about, build awareness on this issue. And it is an integrated program which brings all the stakeholders. per se the government, the civil society organizations, along with the households, to address the problem holistically. So it is in practice yet. We are going forward with the project. There is no specific to the point of blueprint which we are practicing. It is like every place has a unique problem, so we are trying to address it with a unique solution, just like the current podcast. Yeah.
And I think Northeast Institute of Science and Technology, NAIST, is also involved in such projects which are related to arsenic mitigation.
Yeah, the Northeast Institute of Science and Technology, Johat, Assam, is a CSIR body which developed the present project in Tituba region. We are having field level pilot water filters installed in Akashi Ganga area of Hojai and Tituba area of Johat districts of Assam for de-arsenification in that area. The study is actually to determine the success rate in actual field conditions. It is being worked out in collaboration with Saki Waters. Yeah.
Can we know a bit more about what is being done for field level arsenic mitigation pathways? Is it in individual household level or is it being implemented in community level?
Yeah, it is being established in community level. Basically, we are trying to establish a nano alumina coated filters, which is developed by NIST again, where some agriculture and rural waste can be used as a media for arsenic removal, where spent sludge can also be permanently immobilized by different reactions and process. The present experience gathered has shown that in the context of Assam, in particularly, the sludge can be converted into a sealable commodity. Again, it is being used for building material manufacturing. So there is a feasible project which has been worked out. The process would bring down the cost of the cement minimum to 5 rupees per 50 kgs of this material. It's a cost-effective technology which is developed by NIST. It is being done on pilot scale. We are trying to scale up in other locations. We are still talking with NIST now.
So these filters, as I understand it, are the materials, the media material that you just talked about, are these available locally or they have to be brought in from somewhere else?
No, it is being manufactured by NIST currently. But okay. I don't know what exactly the plan of scale up in the near future. So, but it would be more feasible if they actually scale up the filter after currently looking into the pilot level challenges, social engineering part of it, how it can actually scale up in the community level. If that is successful, we'll try establishing that in the areas of South India too. Where we have pockets of arsenic contamination here in South India too.
So as you mentioned, social engineering and also that the awareness of people is also required. What kind of interventions are happening or are required if they are not happening to make people aware of this arsenic contamination and that this arsenic is present in their drinking water?
Okay, so currently Saki Waters is having a consortium of a network called Arsenic Network. The inception of Arsenic Network was done in 2002, which focuses on the critical issues related to water resource management in South Asia. Through this various research and field level partners, Saki Waters has been instrumental in building this arsenic knowledge and arsenic network. Mm-hmm. It's called ACAN, which since 2013 has been engaged at multiple levels through partnership collaboration for addressing the issue of arsenic contamination in water related to health issues. We are trying to build collaboration with technological partners too. There are various technologies on ground. There are new process of filters which is being developed. So we are trying to collaborate with them and trying to bring that into areas where actually the problem is there. So that, I don't know if I answered your question correctly.
No, it does. So, if I understand correctly, the arsenic network is a global platform, right? And then they try to connect different kinds of technical partners and local partners and build basically like a knowledge platform through which dissemination of information could happen. So how exactly does this connect with the local people, this arsenic network? I mean, I understand the partner's connection, but how does it reach to the local people of the areas affected?
Okay. As I previously told you, we are trying to build district platforms through other projects where there is a constant communication channel between the social organization, governments, and other who actually would contribute to this problem. Between them, how different government schemes can be brought together will be discussed for improving the service delivery, which will currently is the biggest challenge in the sustainability, in regards to sustainability. Capacity building, we are trying to inject this kind of technologies, policies with capacity building by introducing innovative peer-to-peer based learning through safe water learning cards, other learning approaches at first level, will enable conversations to take place on that platform, understanding to be created among the target groups, which is basically civil society organization, government frontline workers who are working on this arsenic. Per se, ASHA workers are the one who are working in Assam region. So we are trying to reach the beneficiaries through various channels. The communities themselves are hence ensure that learning and awareness capacities on this issue spread in natural and exponential level at the affected to the affected communities.
Okay, Prithvi, since you are at the middle of the entire arsenic awareness and fieldwork that is going on right now, can you very briefly also tell us what is missing in the current approach when it comes to awareness and capacity building for arsenic mitigation, specifically in Assam, and what can be done better?
Specifically, if I want to talk about the gaps where we can, there's a huge scope look into is research. So research is, we are deficient in research, more specifically about how there are other sources of contamination when we were talking about the biomagnification of arsenic through food crops, through milk. So there is a huge scope for research. Through this network, I would request other researchers or anyone who's working in this area to collaborate with arsenic network. Come on board. Let us work together on scaling up the technology or that specific research on ground.
Yeah, we really hope that not only through this podcast, but through various means, more people get to know about this arsenic network, and especially researchers who are working on this issue and join this network. And thank you so much, Prithvi. This was a really informative session. And we'd like to end with our last segment, where we ask our guest to tell us about any one sustainable choice that you consciously follow in your daily life. This could be anything, a small or a big thing that you do in your own life, which is leading to a more sustainable lifestyle.
Yeah, so learning by doing yourself is one thing which I believe in. The outcome of these actions would be creating the process to understand the realities on ground. So thereby creating improved need-based capacities to address the issues. More specifically, if you want me to put current issue, the safe drinking water is one of them. Yeah.
While presence of arsenic could be related to geogenic factors, the elevated levels observed in groundwater has been compounded by man-made factors. Now, looking at various arsenic mitigation techniques should be a major goal to relieve people in these arsenic affected areas. We should not just learn from best practices, but also adapt it to the local conditions, while also building the capacity of people to take forward these practices.
Thank you, Prithvi, for joining us in today's podcast. And thank you to everyone listening to us today. Tune in next time for another discussion on logically local efforts and solutions.